Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. The title of my message today is Encouragement for the Weary. Last week, we talked about discouragement and feeling beat down. This week, I want to talk about a related subject, which is weariness. Watching the fight for our White House during the past season brought up a lot of emotions for us. Being emotional wears you out. Y'all ever notice that? Because it uses more energy than just being calm. And it does not help to be emotional about things you cannot fix. That just makes you feel that much more worn out because you're frustrated when it's over. I think a lot of people are feeling like that right now. And the whole reason we are emotional is that we knew this was a battle between good and evil playing out, and we wanted the good side to win. That's not to say the person who took the high office is evil. I'm not saying that because I don't have any idea. Only God knows that. The Bible tells us not to grow weary in well-doing. In Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So, we talked about this last week. God is never mocked. No matter how things turn out, we know that there was some wrongdoing, but we also know God saw it all, don't we? And we know that God took account of that. And he's going to recompense every evildoer. All the people who are perpetrating evil now, of any kind, if they do not repent and turn to God, they will pay the price. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He is a righteous judge, y'all. Okay, y'all, this week, Nicole and I worked on this show together. And we were going to record it yesterday morning. And Nicole got up yesterday with what we think is a very bad case of the flu. Y'all, please pray for her. Please pray for her. But she wanted to write some stuff to tell y'all today. So I'm going to read you what she wrote. This is from Nicole to y'all. She said, right after the election, I was confused. Many people had felt like the outcome was not what it should have been. The next day, I heard a preacher I listened to say the day of the election was the anniversary of the day Noah's flood started. The Electoral College meets 40 days after the election, so I assumed it was 40 days of trouble and we would be done. I was disappointed, to say the least, at not being able to have the evidence of such corruption shown. It felt like evil won, but when I was in church Sunday, God reminded me of the 40 days, and that it had rained for 40 days, but he said it also took 40 days for the floodwaters to go down. So that was like another 40 days. The simple fact is, none of this took God by surprise, and no matter how things turn out, he has a plan. He is still doing something, regardless of whether or not it's the way that we think it should be. He's funny like that. He thinks he's God, and he knows better. It would serve us well to remember that he actually does know better. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are far above anything we can imagine, and he will work things out the way he sees fit. I felt from the beginning a lot of this was a test. Who will be passive, who will fight against evil, and who will stand on the side of evil? He is still doing something, and there's a reason. No matter what, he was God yesterday, he's God today, and he will still be God tomorrow. None of us knows what tomorrow will hold. And to try and worry or plan for what is coming will do little good. I have found that God has given me enough faith for today. And if I go past that, it makes me tired and worried. The Bible says that His mercies are new every day. Have you ever thought about that? Why are they renewed daily? Maybe living one day at a time is more effective with our faith than trying to plan for the end of the world. There is a reason why we don't see the future the way He does. We could not handle it. Therefore, it makes sense to live in the present, to trust God for today, and then trust Him, you know, again for tomorrow when tomorrow comes. If you have a relationship with God, then no matter what happens in the future, the trust is already there. The Bible says that those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. I have learned that looking to the future and things I am believing for now can lead to great frustration because I don't see them now. Instead, I live in today, and I wait and trust He will give me new mercy, grace, faith, and endurance every day. Isn't that good, y'all? And you know, reading what she wrote about having faith just for one day at a time, that's ministering to me because I'm a planner and I plan way ahead. And you can't always do that, especially in the time that we live in. My mother and my stepfather used to sing One Day at a Time in church quite often. And now I understand why she liked that song so much. Because that's how she lived too. She lived one day at a time. Her life was very, very hard for a very long time. When she got with my stepfather, it wasn't hard, but it was very hard before that. Okay, moving right along. Now that was the end of the part from Nicole. I want y'all to be aware, because of the time we live in, the enemy is going to pull out all the stops in his bid to steal souls and discourage the saints. Okay, and this is not going to stop from now till the end of the world. It's not going to stop. It's going to increase, if anything. One of the things Nicole and I were talking about this week is how, and we both see this coming. I've been seeing it coming for a little while now, but she probably has too. I didn't ask her. Is how the wicked are willing to level character assassination attacks against people of influence to get them to shut up. What I've been seeing for some time now is them creating, quote, evidence. In other words, like creating evidence, not finding evidence, but making it up, that that person or ministry or minister is not what they claim or seem to be, to get people to stop listening to them. They are going to especially start doing that now to anyone who speaks truth about their dirty dealings and wicked plans. This is how people are getting censored, y'all, on YouTube, and things are getting shut down. They'll shut down their YouTube, their PayPal, you know, whatever, to stop them from talking. This means if you hear minister so-and-so has done something bad or there appears to be evidence of wrongdoing, do not automatically believe it, okay? Go to the Lord and ask Him for the truth and whether you should stop following, listening to, or supporting that person or ministry, because it may just be a case of character assassination set up by the enemy, all right? Otherwise, if you jump on the bandwagon condemning someone who is not guilty, then you will be among the guilty parties responsible for the downfall of a minister or ministry. We need to be very careful about judging people who preach the gospel. That is serious business in God's eyes. You don't take that lightly. You're not in trouble if you just stop following somebody or stop listening to them. But if you're out there spreading falsehoods or helping assassinate their characters, you should prepare yourself for judgment to fall in your own life because you're sowing the seeds for it. Can I just tell you that? Okay. I'm telling y'all what I'm seeing coming, okay, when I'm talking about these things. Do y'all remember me sharing on Facebook last year or so when I was still on it, a new software that's been developed where they can take like a photo of somebody's face and make it say anything they want it to say? They take a photo. I saw in the spirit that that was going to be used to ruin people's reputations in the future, and I still see that coming. They will especially use this kind of evil tool against those who preach the word of God as they are attempting to exterminate God and all truth in the earth. Okay? Y'all, we cramp their style because we will call sin what it is. We will call it sin, and it makes them uncomfortable. And what you have to understand as Christians is the light of God in you is going to make those who dwell in darkness very uncomfortable. And so they're going to try everything they can to get rid of you, okay? So let's understand that up front. Usually, you know, we say, I won't believe something until I see it. But now we cannot even believe what we see. Between software like that and Hollywood special effects, they can make anything appear real. You must be walking closely with the Lord and be able to discern between good and evil through His Spirit to be able to tell what's true now. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24? For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Why would it be even difficult for them to deceive the very elect? Because the very elect discern truth from a spiritual level. They're not discerning truth with their eyes or with what they think, but through their spirit, which is God's spirit in them telling them if it's good or bad. Okay, that's discernment. Discernment is a feeling you get in your midsection. Some people say in their stomach or a gut feeling. That's discernment. When you encounter a person, a place, or a thing, or maybe a situation that is very good or very bad. So we have to be especially careful what and who we believe in this time, because anything we see or hear may just be made up. Never has so much false news circulated as it does now. The internet is a wonderful thing for learning, for connecting with people far away, and for online businesses, but is also a tool used for evil, for slander, and for destruction. Anybody can post anything on the internet. You cannot just believe everything you read or think you saw on the net, y'all. Every random person out there can post whatever they want. And this has also given rise to more wannabe prophets and gurus than ever before. For those who walk with the Lord, He will reveal to you who is the real thing and who is just faking it. And y'all, I would not want to stand in the shoes of a false prophet on Judgment Day. You could not give me any amount of riches on earth to have to face that after life, after this life. Because Satan has a plan to carry out and not much time to do it, he's going to use every avenue he can to do his filthy work. The internet is an easy tool to use, and now, with so many people at home because of the pandemic, he has access to so many more than usual, and he will not miss that opportunity to spread evil and change minds. Can I just tell you that? We have to be on guard in times, especially in times of social unrest like now. A million little distractions and attacks by the enemy will just wear on you. You have to turn them off. Turn off the TV, turn off your thoughts. You know, because for a long time now, the battle has been happening right in front of us, y'all, right in our face. And it has been continual every day. Is it any wonder that we're tired and weary? Things are changing fast for Christians. But as they change, as our circumstances and our environment change, God wants us to stay the same. He wants us to remain steadfast in Him, okay? Stay the same to honor Him no matter what is happening around you. Don't stop giving. Don't stop praying. Don't stop walking in purity. Most of all, stay close to Him by praying. You can pray in your mind all day long. You can talk to Him in your mind. Keep communicating with Him and He will guide you. When it all gets to be too much, go aside someplace with Him and just pour your heart out, even silently. He's listening. I used to pour my heart out to God every time I drive. I still do it when I drive. When I go to pick up online grocery orders, I'm talking to Him all the way over there and all the way back. It's just habit. I talk to Him all day long around my house when I'm doing my work. Remember, too, that Satan often waits until we are weary to tempt us. Remember when he tempted Jesus? After Jesus had fasted 40 days. After the 40th day. He didn't run in there the first week when Jesus was all strong and had just started the journey. No, he waited until 40 days of that. 40 days of no food, no water, and no talking to his family or friends. They didn't have Skype back then, y'all. And then he runs in there and tempts him. Just remember that. Many of you are going through trials and tests, which make the call of temptation to sin that much louder. Because when we're being tried and our flesh is just tired and we're worn out in our mind and we're weary, the call of the, you know, the temptation is that old familiar comfort. Whatever your old familiar comfort was, you wish that you could just go, you know, comfort yourself with that for a little while. We can't, but you wish you could sometimes. It's those old familiar comforts that will get you. Now, once you've been in the walk a long time, you barely remember them, but when you're first in the walk, they can call pretty loud, can't they? But when we're worried, we're aggravated, maybe we're living someplace we don't want to be or having to stay with people we don't really like, if we're upset, scared, angry, frustrated, or maybe we're just broke, busted, and disgusted, Satan is going to play on your emotions. He's going to capitalize on your weariness, your tiredness. He's going to magnify your struggle. And he's going to try to tell you, oh, just this once won't hurt. Yeah, it will hurt. That's a lie. Don't listen to him. Once will hurt. When Satan brings temptation, remember the battle is always fought in your mind. If you can keep control of your thoughts, you will find you can keep control of your behavior as well. As Arnold Schwarzenegger used to say, where the mind goes, the man follows. That is the truth. Y'all remember that. Where the mind goes, the man follows. You don't go out doing a bunch of sin without thinking about it first. Another thing that makes us weary really fast is fear. And a very big fear that many people are suffering from right now is the fear of lack. A fear of not having enough money or not having enough food or not being able to do the things that you normally do. And that's a valid fear considering many people have lost their jobs, not to mention our economy can turn on a dime. And the person in the high office in the land may or may not be able to turn that around. But I want to let you in on a secret. Our God is bigger than our economy. He is bigger than your unpaid bills. He is bigger than any diagnosis you got at the doctor's office. He is bigger than your need for a job today. He is bigger than anything that is going on in our government today. Our God's abundant nature will override your act if you will just believe him to take care of you. And remember this, the Lord told me something I never forgot. Years ago, when I was going through that 2009 wilderness, oh, that was so horrible, 2009, 2010, during the Great Recession, the one that I wrote about so much in the Wilderness Companion. I was in this terrifying wilderness season. I had no job, no money, no prospects of anything, and my unemployment had just run out after they extended it so many times. Then all of a sudden it came to the week when it didn't extend. I still remember it. I remember the panic that rose up in me. So I know the feeling, y'all, if you're going through that now. I remember that. I was paralyzed with fear. I was just terrified. I was literally begging God to help me. Because I did not have this level of faith then. This is how, that's how he built it, was that wilderness in particular. I had not yet learned that we are believers, not beggars, and that begging was not the fastest way to get your prayers answered. I didn't know. I was desperate. I wasn't going to be able to pay rent. I was staring homelessness in the eyes. And I can tell you, I was more afraid of that than I was years ago as a pregnant 16-year-old wife staring down the barrel of a loaded shotgun pointed at my face and held by my exceedingly drunk husband who passed out just minutes later. Thank God he passed out. So I was crying out to God for help in my wilderness when he spoke very, and I'm just, y'all know how a baby fusses and you can't get it to calm down. I was like, that was, oh God, you know, I mean, I was just, I didn't know what else to do. I was begging, please, Lord, please help me. And I was just going on and on. And then he just spoke to me and he said, I only need one day. And that's all he said. And as his words sank in, I fell silent. And I thought, wait, he's God. He does just need one day. He is God of the breakthrough. He only needs one day to turn your whole situation around. Tell that fear to be still and know that he is God. Go make yourself a cup of hot tea and just think about that. He's God. He is the same God that rained manna down from heaven in the midst of a barren desert where there was no food of no kind for the Israelites. He's the same God that told the disciples to let down that empty net one more time. And they brought up so many fish that the net wouldn't even hold them all. He is God, and He knows exactly how much you need to pay those bills every week. And He knows how to get it to you. The question is, can you believe Him to do it? Can you build up your faith and stir up your faith and override that unbelief and believe Him to do it so He can work in your situation? Because that's what He needs to work in your situation. He needs your faith. You might be out of work because He's about to give you an idea for a successful business. Did you think about that? You might be out of work because He wants you to work for Him. You might be out of work because He's trying to get you off of the failing paycheck system and onto the provider system with Him as your provider. And you might be out of work because you ask Him for that. That was one of the reasons I was out of work at that time, by the way, because I had asked Him for that. I wanted to do work that had eternal value, not just continue lining rich men's pockets. Got nothing against wealth, but that's not how I wanted to spend my life. Maybe you just got promoted and you don't realize it yet. Be still. And know He is God. No matter what is going on in our world, it is not an obstacle for our mighty God, y'all. The only thing that's an obstacle to Him promoting you is you, your fear, your unbelief, your unwillingness to go through what it takes in that season of change to get there. He is God. And once you get that, you'll laugh at Satan trying to make you afraid. Can I just tell you that? If you are going through something like this, please, please read the Wilderness Companion. It was written for the people who are going to go through this. When God had me write that book, He told me that it would help thousands of people in the future. And I think He's talking about this future. When so many jobs are gone and probably not coming back. When so many companies are just shutting down, they're going bankrupt because they can't keep going in this pandemic atmosphere. And if you're okay, but you know somebody else who's going through that, get them a copy. Do them a favor and get them a copy because it will help them. I promise you it will help them to understand, first of all, what they're going through and why and how to make it go faster, how to get through it more quickly by working with God and not against God. Okay, Nicole told me something else to tell y'all, and then I'm gonna read you something after I read you what she said. Nicole said, remember that the only way we lose is to stop fighting. The temptation to do that and just give up is great. She said, I deal with this a lot, but when I get tired and things don't seem to look like I'm making any difference, God always sends me reminders not to give up. I was talking with the minister after church Sunday when he mentioned a sermon he liked. She said, I didn't hear all of it because God spoke to me in what he said. He referenced the story of Eliezer fighting until the sword was frozen to his hand. When he said that, God told me, don't drop your sword. And I looked up the story, and there really isn't much to it, but one verse stood out to me, and God won a great victory that day. The truth is, he chooses to use us for his glory. And if we stop fighting, they win by default. The other side wins by default. And she is right about that, y'all. God will fight with us if we choose to press on and fight no matter what. I choose to see today for what it is and give no thought to tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Isn't that good? Y'all don't forget to pray for Nicole to get well, okay? Okay, I'm going to read y'all one of the early columns that I wrote back in, I think I wrote this in 06. I might have written it in 07. It's called Faith. And this is in my book called Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1, which is a book of a bunch of the newspaper. It's a book of all my favorites of the newspaper columns that I had written at that time. A weak faith is weakened by predicaments and catastrophes, whereas a strong faith is strengthened by them. That's a quote by Viktor Frankl. This is a true story, by the way. Rain poured down and thunder boomed one dark night in September in western Oklahoma. It had been a quiet, pleasant evening at the nursing center, and nurses and residents alike were enjoying the cooler weather when the scream of the local tornado siren tore through the night sky, warning of impending danger, hovering unseen in the darkness. The nurses and aides looked at each other in surprise, then quickly began moving residents to the safe rooms. One able-bodied resident sprung into action, quickly pushing one wheelchair after another into the small shelter room as frightened residents tried to comprehend the sudden change of events. After the residents were moved into the rooms, one 80-year-old resident, seeing the fear in the eyes of the frightened residents around her, stood up from her wheelchair and announced she would lead everyone in prayer, which she proceeded to do. In the strongest voice her frail body could produce, her faith-filled words rang out over the bowed heads of the frightened elderly group, and peace fell over the room as she prayed, though thunder still crashed through the darkness outside the building. At the end of the prayer, the woman's roommate, who had leapt to action earlier to get everyone quickly into the sheltered room, then began singing a joyful hymn, and soon everyone else joined in. That night, amidst fear and uncertainty, workers at the center could hear the angelic voices of the residents resonating out with faith from their safe rooms. What do you rely on to get you through the hard times in life? Everyone puts their faith in something. Where is your faith? Is it in your job or career? Your education? Your friends? Relationship or marriage? Your children? The stock market? What do you rely on to make you happy, take care of you, to save you from sickness and sorrow? Whatever you answered is where your faith is. We tend to invest our time, money, and energy into what we believe will make us the happiest, what will get us through life with the most advantages. Whatever we give our time, money, and energy to, that is the power we really believe in. It may be our image, our career, education, relationships, our God, our position in the community, or our children. Knowingly or unknowingly, we are worshiping it with our thoughts, our time, our finances, and our energy. That is where your thoughts are. That is where your faith is. Everyone alive has faith in something. Your actions tell the truth about where your faith really is. For many, their words say their faith is in one place, but their actions speak a much louder truth. How you live shows what you really believe in. It wasn't great courage the woman and her roommate had that night. It was great faith. They had faith that they would be protected no matter what destruction raged in the storm around them. They chose faith instead of fear. Their faith was so strong it helped others not be afraid. Faith is simply trust and confidence instead of doubt and fear. If you have real faith, you don't need courage to face the storms of life without fear. A person will worship something, have no doubt about that. We may think our tribute is paid in secret in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will out. That which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts will determine our lives and our character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship. For what we are worshiping, we are becoming. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Sorry, my voice was breaking. I was reading that. The woman who stood up from the wheelchair and prayed over everyone was my mother. And the woman who pushed the wheelchairs into the rooms was her roommate, who has since passed away. I miss my mom a lot. She was a woman of great faith, and I know she's watching me from heaven, and I hope I'm making her proud. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. jph@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?